sympathy. We welcome as mediators Father William C. Kernan of the parish of St. James the Less, Executive Director of the Institute of American Democracy, Rabbi James G. Heller, President of the Central Conference of American Rabbis, and Dr. Paul Dawson Eddy, long an executive officer of the International Council for Religious Education and president of Adelphi College at Garden City, Long Island. Gentlemen, let us proceed. Will you agree that in case 1438C, there is more than one moral to be gleaned from this interesting matter?
Are you the complainant party?
I am, Mr. Alexander.
Will you tell your story?
Well, what do you think of a husband who has given a woman 8 children and lived with him for 24 years and then in front of his children denies that he is married to her?
Well, now, what's this all about? How old are you?
40 years old.
So when you were a little girl, what happened?
At the age of 15, my home surroundings weren't very pleasant. I was shown no affection whatsoever. I met this man 2 years older than I. He asked me to marry him, got a license, and presented me with a gold wedding band, and said we were married.
Well, weren't you married?
I didn't realize until after my first child was born. And I asked him repeatedly to marry me, and he always gave me some other excuse.
Well, what happened? What happened after that?
Well, we had more children. I was very happy with him. He was very good to me.
And did you take for granted that you were married?
And I took for granted that we were married.
Just because nothing happened, you were happy together and you had children and you just assumed that that was married life.
That's right, Miss Alexander.
Well, how long have you been together?
We have been together 24 years, and it was not until 2 years ago that I began to smell the rat. And then a letter came to my home.
A letter came to your home?
Yes, sir.
To whom was it addressed?
Addressed to my husband and someone else.
And what did the letter indicate?
It indicated that it was some other woman who was known as his wife.
Some other woman known as his wife?
That's right.
Well, why are you here?
I am here to have this matter settled. I want my husband to marry me if he is not married to this other woman for my children's sake. After all, he should have done this 24 years ago. And I have 3 lovely sons in service.
Yes. Now, you try to control yourself. We can understand the way you feel. But...
Yes. Well, now, just a minute. Good
night. Well, now, you see, your husband seems to feel that it's not fair for you to identify the case
not
so that other people will know who it is. Now, you mustn't do that.
There's plenty of people with 3 sons in service.
Well, I suppose that's true. But at the same time, I think that perhaps you shouldn't have said that out of consideration for his feelings. Well, now, this man has just walked out of the studio. And, of course, I have the feeling, gentlemen, that there may have been other reasons why he walked out of the studio than because she said that he had sons in the service. But I think that this case can be decided on the basis of the evidence which...
That's not the reason! That's not the reason!
All fine gentlemen who come here to help, and I'm sure that if you haven't respect for others, you have for these 3 gentlemen who are here to try to bring peace and justice to a very unpleasant situation. And I'm going to ask this lady, who claims that she's your wife, to sit over there, so she won't have anything further to say, and then we'll have a very quiet session in which you'll have a chance to explain your feelings in justice to yourself. Now, you just sit over there. Thank you very much. Well, now, sir, you've heard what your wife has said.
Yes, sir.
Now, tell us how you feel about it. What's the truth of the matter?
The truth of the matter is, I was a sailor in the last war. I was going with this girl. I went to her house. She had trouble there, and I went to work, and I took her, and I said to her, do you want to go with me, or you want to stay here?
You mean there were arguments in her home?
Arguments in her house.
Was her father cruel to her?
Yes, sir.
Did he beat her up?
Well, I couldn't say whether he beat her. He didn't hit her in my presence.
Well, didn't you say to me that there was such an unpleasantness at home?
Well, I said that, but I say he didn't hit her in my presence. Yeah. Maybe he did at times because she told me that he did.
Well, where did you take her?
I took her to my mother's house.
And what did you tell your mother?
I told my mother I'm bringing in my wife.
And after you were there a while, did you feel that everybody, including your mother, felt that you were married and therefore you couldn't do anything about
it? That's right. That's perfectly right. I figured that as long as I told my mother and I told everybody else we were married, there was no sense to doing anything else but go along as we were.
How old were you then, about 17?
17 years old.
Yeah. And, gentlemen, according to the laws of this state, one cannot get married without parental took this young woman to his home in order to protect her and said that he was the husband and she was his wife, and the mother gave them the blessing, but having said that they were married, he felt that he couldn't marry. I assume that... Did you wait a number of months until you were 18, and then everybody thought you were married? Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Now, why is it that you have no regard for your wife at this time?
I'll tell you. You see, she's joined a couple of lodges and different things, and she's got pretty big. She imagines that she's bigger than she is.
Independent.
And I went to work. I give her all I could give her.
For
24 years, and I'm doing, even today, to this very day, I'm only working for one thing. Is a goal for my children. Because I suffer.
Don't you love this woman?
There's no such a thing as love. My love is my children. What I went through in the last 24 years, there's no such a thing as love.
Well, she states that you're married to someone else.
I'm not married, and I told her I'm married to no one. And I intend to marry nobody.
Well, do you feel that if you've stuck to her for 24 years, that that's marriage?
That's more than a marriage. I've seen people that's married that's got a piece of paper in their pocket that ain't worth the paper that it's written on. And I went to work and give this woman everything I could give her, and I'm still giving her. And I'm going to give. I'm going to take care of my children if it's the last thing I do.
Well, now, under what circumstances would you have an actual ceremony performed?
Well, when she stops being the way she is. If she gets down off that horse that she's riding, I'll go to work and do the right thing. I always had that intention, and I always will have the intention.
Yes.
Providing she gets off the horse that she's riding.
Now, Father Kernan, here we have this situation, which is very clear. I think it should be stated so that there'll be no misunderstanding, and sometimes these situations lend themselves to misinterpretation, that common law marriages have been outlawed in this state, but were perfectly legal at the time these people consummated what the law believes was a marriage, even though there was no religious or civil ceremony. Therefore, that would be recognized by the law at this time. However, this man's mental attitude has to be considered. He feels that he's not married to her as long as there was no ceremony, except that he feels that he's fulfilled.
Well, now you explain how... No, you're wrong. I feel that I'm more married to this woman than any man with a piece of paper in his pocket. And I went to work and I done everything a man could do without her knowing and bringing it into my house. I'd been into trouble and she never knew about it.
In order to make...
All enough, yes, sir, to make sacrifice to bring home money to go to work and her to have it.
Well, now,
that woman, look at her today. Anybody can look at her to see that there's nothing wrong with her.
Now, you just have to compose yourself. I know that you're terribly excited about this, and you're righteously indignant. But now let's hear what these gentlemen have to say about the question of marriage.
That's right.
Yes. Now, you just sit over there. Thank you very much. Well, now, Father Kernan, how about this question of marriage?
Well, there doesn't seem to be any question in this gentleman's mind that he's married to his wife. And, of course, in a real sense, he is. Even in the church, it is recognized that the ministers of the marriage are the people themselves who take the vows. In the church, the sacrament of marriage is the only one of the seven in which the minister himself is not the actual minister of the sacrament. And that's
well, are you trying to say then, Father, and forbid this intrusion because we do want to get on, that this man really married himself when he gave this ring and indicated his intention to have her as his wife?
Yes, in a real sense, that's true. It was agreement in good faith between the two parties. And the marriage has been blessed by children, and it has continued over a number of years. I would suggest, however, that as soon as possible that these people have this marriage of theirs legalized, both for their own sakes and for the sake of their children.
Rabbi Heller? Mr. Alexander, I agree completely with the last statement that was made by Father Conan. I judge from what both father and mother have said that they love their children very, very greatly. And the danger that seems to me to be run is if such a thing becomes public, that their children may be stigmatized with illegitimacy, which would be very bad for them. It sounds to me, by listening to them, and I've had a great many cases similar to that in some ways, that this is the kind of personal problem that ought to be made up between the two people to the married, by mutual adjustment with each other, by each trying to meet the wishes of the other and getting together so that they can reestablish their home and live happily with their children.
Dr. Eddy.
Mr. Alexander, I think there's little I can add. The man is married, both legally and in his own mind and in the understanding of the wife. I do feel that the one basis for his intense devotion to his children, if that's a very real love, then he will protect them in this situation by a formal ceremony. And then I hope that the adjustments can be such that there can be a happy home for the rest of the next 24 years or whatever number of years may remain.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Since this marriage, and you all have testified to the fact that in every sense it is a marriage, will have continued for 25 years, a quarter of a century, and that time will be reached in a very few months, I think it certainly would be a wonderful thing, and I wonder if you agree with me, gentlemen, that it would be magnificent if a ceremony just to satisfy the children could be performed either on or before the 25th anniversary so as to establish peace of mind and do away with some of the mental barriers that have caused difficulty here.
That's right.
I feel sure that would be good in the sight of God and man.
I think it ought to be done for more other reasons than to satisfy the children. I think it'd be done for the real reasons of people who'd married in public.
Thank you very much. Case number 15322. Gentlemen, how would you settle this difference in the direction of establishing peace of mind? Are you the complainant party?
Yes, I am, Mr. Alexander.
Well, will you tell your story?
I always thought that honesty is the best policy until lately, when I found out that if you tell the truth, you get into trouble deeper all the time.
Well, how long are you married?
I'm married 25 years.
And what happened 10 years ago?
10 years ago, my husband got into trouble. And since then, he can't make a living for the family.
Yes. And what do you ask him?
I asked him, does he have to tell that he has a record?
You mean a criminal record?
He has a record, yes. A criminal record.
And what does he say?
He says he has to.
And what's the result?
The result is that he can't earn a living for the past 10 years.
And why are you here?
I'm here to find out whether a man is obligated to tell he has a record and make innocent people suffer.
Well, does your husband refuse to take care of your children
and
yourself?
Yes, he does. He always comes back with the same excuse. He's got a record.
Yes. Is this your husband?
Yes.
Well, now, how do you feel about this?
Yes, Mr. Alexander. When a man has two strikes on him, he's down. I've been looking for work every day in the week.
Did you think that a man of your type, and when I say your type, I don't mean to be offensive, but a man who has been involved as you have, has it difficult?
Yes, sir, has it very difficult. A man has two strikes and he's a...
That's what you said. You came in to see me and said you're a jailbird and that you have two strikes.
Yes,
you told
sir.
Me that 20 times. Well, now what is your experience?
My experience is that every time I go and look for work, I can't get it. When I go I walk the streets and go and get applications, and every time they got,
Your wife says that you shouldn't say that you have a record.
Well, my wife is very foolish. I can't help it. I'm going to the truth about it.
Well, supposing you don't tell them you have a record and they hire you, what happens?
Then they fingerprint me and have me fired anyway.
And just supposing you tell them you do have a record, they won't hire you.
They wouldn't hire me just
so you're up against it. Well,
yes.
Doesn't your wife understand this?
My wife does not understand this.
And does she argue with you and nag you?
Argue and every time there's some arguments in the house, I can't stand it no longer.
Yeah.
Well, now, what is this record that your wife speaks about?
This record is a title from the Horse Mutual. Bets from the Horse Mutual numbers, they call it.
And the people bet on numbers in connection with horse races?
Yes, sir.
And how did you happen to get into that?
I was working in a concern for 17 years when a friend of mine had approached me and says, it's about time you got wife to yourself and made some nice, easy money. I took a fool's advice and went out there and tried to make some money, which I did for a couple of weeks. And now I'm up against it.
Well, you went to jail after a couple of weeks?
Yes, sir. I went to jail several times.
How many years ago was that, when you first went to jail?
That was about 10 years ago.
And how many times have you been arrested since?
13 times arrested.
You've been in jail, in and out, for 10 years?
10 years, yes, sir.
Well, now, after you got into the trouble the first time, why did you accept bets again?
Well, I went back to my place of business where I was working once before to try and get reinstated. And they wouldn't hire me. And I went to several other places and they wouldn't hire me.
Because you'd been in jail?
Because I've been in jail.
And now you feel that since you can't get a job, you might as well just throw up the white flag. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Well, Rabbi Heller, do you think that society is inclined to be harsh with a fellow of this kind when he tries to get something?
Unquestionably. I think most people take a very wrong attitude toward men who have had this experience. Instead of trying to help them, instead of trying to give them the benefit of a doubt, most people are inclined to be very harsh and not to give a chance to a man. But that's not universal. I know of quite a few cases to the contrary. Perhaps there's some within the sound of our voice who'd be willing to help a man who's been down for a long time and who hasn't had a chance to get the right kind of work.
Well, that certainly would be wonderful. Father Canaan, how about this question of the hunt? Certainly feels it, as well as Rabbi.
I believe you've got to say that although it is true that society is harsh toward people who have gone astray, at the same time, the individuals themselves have been harsh on society in having gone astray in the first place. And in the next place, I think, however, that if a man won't take personal responsibility for what he does, then he loses all chance of ever succeeding again. Because if he's going to blame society or anybody else for his downfall, then, of course, everything is outside his control. But if he will say, this was my fault, and then proceed to the assumption that since it is my fault, it's within my control and I can do something about it, why, he will find that there are resources within himself which enable him to overcome the difficulty. And I'm sure it's so in this case, inasmuch as this man has had an excellent record for 17 years.
Dr. Eddy?
This man has repeatedly said he had two strikes on him, but he did not say he had three. I mean, you still have the open chance. It's a difficult secure dependable. Get some definite job, a menial job, no matter what it is. Make good in that job. And then from there, you can go to another job. Society, you've offended against society. Society has a right to protect itself, and you've repeatedly offended against your fellow men. Now, you turn around and prove to your fellow men that you can work, and there's enough work of some kind that you can get. Without any fingerprinting or any delving into your record. If you're asked about your record, of course you state it. But go to work at something and earn some money and then make good at that job and move on to another and a better job after you've proven yourself.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I address this statement to the respondent. I know that by the time this hour is over, or this half hour, you're going to have a job. That's going to be the third strike, and let's hope that it'll be a home run. I want to congratulate you on that opportunity, and let's see how you make out after you have that job. We know that you're going to be a winner.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Number 15371. Gentlemen, granted that loyalty is a most desirable and praiseworthy issue, to what extent may we impose on others in order to be loyal to someone else that we care for? Are you the complainant?
Yes, Mr. Alexander, I am.
Can you tell your story?
Can we decide what is justice in this case? Do you think that a family should be made a fool of for 15 years because of the weakness of a person who doesn't realize the difference between love and self-respect? I'm here tonight to represent my father and mother, another sister, and myself. My oldest sister, who's the respondent in this case, has been married for 15 years to a worthless man who is absolutely without character. Weak as a jellyfish, who has allowed a wife and children to go penniless, while he has gambled away practically every penny he has ever made.
Now, in what way has this affected you?
Well, that's just the point. For practically the entire 15 years, it has been necessary for us to support this wife and two children because of the failure of this man to recognize his responsibility as a husband and a father. While he gambles his salary away, we have to pay the rent. And now we have been forced to give her and the children a home.
Now, why are you here?
Because we would like to bring this matter to a head. We resent being made fools of and have told my sister that she has no right to expect us to support her as long as she puts up with a healthy husband who is perfectly able to support his family.
Well, now, do you feel that this man's gambling and neglect of his family is traceable to your sister?
Yes, because he knows that she overlooks his neglect and would appeal to us. We have simply made up our minds that unless she gives up this worthless husband, we can't help her any longer.
And are you concerned with what becomes of the marriage?
We don't want to break up a marriage, but we certainly don't feel that we should forever assume a husband's responsibilities. She doesn't seem to understand the difference between love and self-respect, and we are the ghosts.
Yes. Is your sister?
Yes.
Well, now, how do you feel about this?
Well, they say blood is thicker than water, and my family want me to turn against my husband, and they just seem that they can't seem to understand.
Well, your family seems to feel that they've had the responsibility of taking care of you when you have an able-bodied husband who gambles his money away, and that if you expect forever help, you shouldn't tolerate a husband who's shown no consideration.
He always told me he loved me, and this feeling is mutual. I don't think my family has the right to come between us.
Well, what did you do when your husband gambled away his salary?
I went to my mother and asked her to help me out.
Well, did you overlook what he did and did you forgive him?
I did.
And do you still overlook his neglect?
I do.
Why?
Because I love him.
Because you love him. Well, does he love you?
Yes.
He does love you?
He does love me, calls me up long distance and asks me to forgive him and tells me that he loves me.
Who asks her who pays for those long distance calls?
You do.
Does he reverse the charges?
Yes.
And your family has to pay for his love? Well, now, how about it, Dr. Eddy?
Well, it's very clear to me that this family has to make up its mind whether it wants to keep this process up indefinitely, because that's exactly what will happen. On the other hand, there are people who like to take care of weaker people and enjoy their love and affection. Now, if your sister wishes that, wishes to continue it, that's her right and her privilege. But you have the right and privilege to withdraw the support and let her understand that you're not going to continue that process in the future.
Father Canan?
Well, I don't think that the wife's family has any responsibility at all to continue to support the family. On the other hand, I don't think they have any business in trying to break it up. What I believe ought to be done is for this family to try to get together, and since the man and woman both say they love one another, they can prove whether or not it's true by cutting themselves adrift entirely from the support of the family. Then they will find out very shortly whether or not this love is simply in the realm of sentiment or whether it's strong like true love, and will get its roots down into the ground and make a success of his life.
Rabbi Heller, are you in agreement?
I'm in complete agreement with my two colleagues. It seems to me that the marriage will be a much happier one when it becomes an independent marriage. Certainly the family don't want to break it up, but equally, the constant support of this kind tends to make marriages weak rather than strong, and unhappy rather than happy. Therefore, I would recommend, if it's within my power, that the family certainly do nothing to interfere, but do nothing further to help also.
Well, that seems to be the unanimous opinion of this board.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. Mr. Alexander returns in just a moment for his closing poem for tonight. If you reside in Greater New York and there is a problem you have or a matter of dispute, we invite you to submit it for settlement. Simply communicate with A.L. Alexander in care of this station, WOR, New York. All names are kept in the very strictest confidence. There is no fee for this service. Now, Mr. Alexander.
not in the spirit of reflecting on essential principles sacred to any one saint, but thinking rather in terms of universal truth and kindness and understanding and the common dedication of all saints to a better and more tolerant world, I give you this poem titled, Who Are My People? My people, who are they? I went into the church where the congregation worshipped my God. Were they my people? I felt no special kinship as they knelt there. My people, where are they? I went into the land where I was born, where men spoke my language. I was a stranger there. My people, my soul cried, who are my people? Last night in the rain, I met an old man who spoke a language I do not speak, which marked him as one who does not know my God. With apologetic smile, he offered me the shelter of his patched umbrella. I met his eyes, and then I knew.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. This poem, Who Are My People?, is from page 82 of A.L. Alexander's famous published collection, now in its sixth printing. If you would like to have a copy of tonight's poem, you may have it without charge simply by sending a card or letter to A.L. Alexander in care of W.O.R., New York. If you desire information about Mr. Alexander's collection of 228 human interest poems in book form, those read by him in the past and those to be read in the future, poems that touch the heart, he will be glad to send without obligation information as to how you can get a copy. Simply address A.L. Alexander in care of W.O.R., New York.
If the truth is to be recognized, under the stress of wartime conditions, strange things are happening today in the homes of countless thousands of families in America. Fathers in the army or away at defense plants, mothers out working for the first time, and we find neglected, unguided, undisciplined homes and the inevitable effect on teenage children. Police departments throughout the nation have almost unbelievable figures on the number of runaways, vagrancies, and offenses and crimes of the most serious nature, with the figures mounting all the time. Many of these uncertain home conditions are in a stage where they can yet be saved. They involve questions of the greatest concern to every thinking person. If you are familiar with an issue of this kind, or any other issue arising out of restless wartime conditions and feel that help can be given, communicate with the mediation board in care of this station, W.O.R., New York.
This is Mutual.